You know, we've been in Toluca now for a few months, and it's been real fun so far working with Roland Angie there, and he's a good man, good coworker. Looking forward to having Michael and Terry there, and Bill hooking up with Bill again. Been there. We've been in Mexico, I guess, what, 10 years now, Karen? Right, 10 years. I forget years, and I don't even know how old I am. I got to ask my wife how old I am. I just actually, you know, time just flies. You know, it's been real good since I've been with the Lord, and just can't wait to get up there. And at the same time, we got so much to do down here. We're expecting these brothers to come in this summer. We ask that you pray for us because, you know, it's going to be four families now down there in Toluca and you know, different personalities. And, you know, them guys are kind of funny. Michael talked about working together, and that's about as far as it went. And now 10 years later, it looks like we're going to be working together, and I'm excited. And I'm hoping the Lord will do something real big there. He's already started to move there in Toluca. We got about... There's 12 adults that we can say that they're coming. And, so it's been real good and hoping to see more fruit. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Just want to read, some familiar passages. You know, we've been called, to do, a job. And, you know, I want to say the job that we've been called to do is a simple job. It really is. It doesn't require ingenuity, I guess is the word, or material. Go out and tell what Jesus has done in our lives. That's the job we've been called to do, you know? And to tell people about Christ is something that I think every Christian has a duty to do. I mean, the most important thing that we're called to do is to tell. That's what we have to do. And lots of times I know we come up with so many excuses, and the excuses are great. I mean, they are just so good to hear sometimes, but none of it's true. I mean, we can all go out and tell somebody what Jesus has done in our lives, how he saved us, what he's done for us, how he's changed us. And I just want to read some familiar passages. Chapter 5. In verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for your blessing, Lord, for your grace that you've given us, and thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, and we thank you, Lord, for the mercy, Lord, you've given us, and we ask that you bless this week and bless your words and help us to understand that we are new creatures in you, and everything is new, and Lord, that we're your ambassadors, and that we have this privilege to carry the gospel to a lost world, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I was thinking of this, God has called us ambassadors. You know, what a privilege it is to take this gospel, you know. What a privilege it is to speak in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that we are heirs to the promises of God. You know, it really is amazing. I know that, you know, to the vast majority of the people here, you know, in the world, I'm probably nothing, and we stand out there and we preach and we look pretty foolish doing it. You know, and I know that. I mean, I sit back and listen, you know, to these guys preach too, and you know, see the work, you know, myself, and sometimes it gets pretty comical, you know, out there on a street, and you know, Brother Roland's, you know, preaching away, and I'm the only one listening to him. You know, I'm thinking, this is pretty foolish, you know? I mean, we're preaching away and trying to get these people to come out and listen. I mean, I know it's not in vain. You know, I know we're out there preaching, and I know they're listening to us behind the doors. You know, I know it because I live in the same kind of house they live, you know, and I hear the garbage truck come out, you know, and I hear the water man, and I'm inside TV on or whatever, or you know, having a good time, you know, whatever we're doing, I'm hearing everything that's going on outside, so I know that they're listening. I know they're hearing us. But you know, it gets pretty comical sometimes. It is pretty comical when we go downtown. And there's lots of people there when we get there. And the minute we start preaching, they all get up and go. You know, I'm thinking, oh man. So, you know, most of the time I say, Roland, why don't you go ahead and go first? You know, go ahead and go first, Roland, and I'll go ahead and finish them. And sometimes that can backfire because sometimes they'll stay there. And then I start preaching and they all leave. So sometimes it can backfire. But you know what? We are ambassadors. And it doesn't matter. It does not matter. And this is the comfort I have. It does not matter, if they want to listen, if they're right in, you know, in the right state of mind, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm an ambassador and all I am commanded to do is go out and beseech them. Go out and talk to them and just let them hear the word because it's the word that's going to convict them, not me. If they get up and leave, you know, that decision they made is going to be on them, not on me. You know, and as I'm thinking about this, what a blessing we have. We are new creatures in Christ. All things are become new. You know, who would have guessed that a church like this would send a person like me to Mexico? You know, I ain't got no theology degree. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I studied at the Tebow, you know, School of Theology, I guess, you know? That's the best that I can do. And, you know, as a matter of fact, I do have an elder's certificate right there in my office I proudly display right there, you know, with Brother Brian's signature on the bottom, you know? I mean, that's about it. Where'd you go to school? Right there, Tebow University. That's my degree. But you know what? I am an ambassador. All things are become new. Man, you know, when I think about that, when I think about the minute I encountered Christ, from that moment, man, my life was like a big zero. I mean, I just flunked the greatest exam of my life up to that point. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to give you another shot. You know, we're going to blot that out like it never happened. Amen. And I'm going to give you another start. Good night. I mean, who wouldn't take that offer? You know, I can be a new creature, not only a new creature, but I can be an ambassador of Christ. Amen. I don't have to be sent out to go, you know, quote unquote, sent out of a church and be a quote unquote a missionary. I tell you, all of us are called to do this simple job. And some are called to go do it somewhere else. But I guarantee you, wherever you're at, you're called to do it. Look in Galatians. Let me tell you what Christ has done. You might be selling yourself short tonight. But I just want to point out a few things. Our position that we have all because of Christ. Galatians chapter 3. In verse 29 it says, "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Ephesians chapter 3. Like I said, these are just familiar passages. But you know what? When I start thinking about looking down upon, you know, my life or whatever, I got to bring these verses back to mind. You know, I'm not only an ambassador, I'm not only a new creature, but I am an heir of the promises of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. It says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of this promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. You know, we are made ministers of God according to his grace. Each and every one. And I know not all of us have the same talents. Not all of us can do the same things. Not all of us preach the same way. Not all of us can give a testimony the same way. But you know what? We all are called to do this simple, simple job. I don't know how we can just ignore it. And lots of times, that's how we choose to live, right? It's not my responsibility. You know, I just need to show up. You know, that's Brother Brian. That's Brother Brian's job, you know? But you know what? It's not only Brother Brian's job. I thank God for Brother Brian. I thank God for his service, you know, for never saying, you know what, you can't come along with me today, you know, no, you bother me, kid, or I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the guy, I'd go to him and, you know, what are you doing this week? What, you know, we'd get together, we'd go out, we'd have some fun, we'd go fellowship, we'd go. I'm glad that I was, that I was brought up in a church, a good church, that's taught me, that's rooted me in good doctrine. Amen. We are heirs. What else does it say in Titus chapter 3? Titus chapter 3. It says that being justified by his grace, we should be made, verse 7. It says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works, and these things are good and profitable unto men. You know, it's a good thing to affirm constantly. You know, it's a good thing to have these meetings and affirm constantly our responsibility, our duty as heirs to the promise. We are all ambassadors. And this is something that when I look in the Bible, I mean, it says that Peter was a man, sin letras. How does it say in English? Unlearned. This guy was just a person like you and I. No law degree, no politician, no. I mean, he was just a man called of God. That's all he was. You know what? He went and did a great work. You know, I take comfort in the people that God called. People that are just, that I can relate to. Sure. I mean, you know, he called some smart people, you know, and you know, in this room, I'm sure there's some smart people. Somewhere. You know, let me tell you, I mean, it's funny. I get a blast living down there with these guys. But I remember one time, and I'm probably going to mess up the story, but my stories are always better the way I say it. One time I was over at, I showed up at Bill's house or whatever, and he said, "Hey, you know what? Last night I couldn't sleep. I dreamed about something." And I was like, "Really? What? What is it?" "Well, you know, I dreamed about a new engine. I have an idea to make a new engine." And he starts talking to me about, you know, this combustion and these pistons and these things and you know, all this junk. I'm thinking, what in the world, flux capacitor? I don't know what he's talking about, man. You know, I mean, he's talking these words, and I'm thinking, what in the world is this guy saying? And he has drawings, and I mean, he was up, you know, he got up, I don't know what time at night, and you know, it just came to him. He got an invention for a new engine. I'm thinking, good grief, I wake up thinking, what's for breakfast? You know, this guy goes to sleep, wakes up, and has an idea for a new engine. It's pretty comical sometimes. But you know, it's good to be surrounded with men a little bit wiser than you. I don't mind just being me. I really don't care. When I got a problem, I just go to Bill. I can go to Brian. I can go to Brother Lindo. Maybe they can help me out. That's why we want Michael over there. You know, affirm constantly, Paul says. Affirm constantly that they which have believed. Have you believed? It says here, affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Amen. Now, why do we have to be so careful to maintain good works? Why do we have to be so careful to maintain our testimony, to maintain good doctrine, good teachings, to maintain an order in the church, to maintain an order in our lives, which is so difficult sometimes? We make such a mess of ourselves. And the bickering and just the backbiting sometimes just ruins us sometimes. We get our eyes, our focus off the main thing. Do a simple job. Preach the gospel. We need to be affirmed constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And you know why? Because it's profitable unto all men. It's profitable. You know, and as I was thinking about this, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2. Just real quick, I want you to see something. Luke chapter 2. Like I said, I think we sell ourselves short thinking that, you know, God can never use us or God can never, do something with us or, you know, use us in any capacity in the church or, you know, somewhere else because of whatever. Well, you know what? This Bible says that all things are become new. You know, and I think if we've made a mess of our lives, even as a Christian, and that happens sometimes, and that's a shame. But you know, even if it does happen, we can start all over again. You know, we are sons and daughters of a God of a second chance and a third and a fourth and a fifth. And maybe by one of those chances, we'll get it right. But you know what? When I look at the people that God had called, and we read right here in chapter 2 and verse 8, I'm just going to read a few verses. And it talks about some shepherds. It says here in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them." You know, just a couple of thoughts that I want to take from here. First of all, when I read this and I started looking at this, isn't this amazing that in this time there was religious people, there was people with, you know, great positions and maybe even closer to God. I mean, who knows? I have no idea. But obviously, you know, it was the same time as we're living in right now. There's people of different status, different religious orders or whatever there is. But you know what? God chose these shepherds just doing their work. Just people like you and I, you know, just, you know, working, trying to feed their family, you know, just there. God showed up to them and said, hey, this is what happened this night. I want you to go and tell. And it says that they made haste and they went and did exactly what God had said for them to do. And you know what? As I was reading this, I said, you know what? They also got to see a little bit about what's going to be going on in heaven. That praise and worship. They saw a host of angels praising God. You know, as I think about that, I mean, I like coming to the meetings. I really do. Ever since I got saved, I just like coming to the meetings. I don't think I would feel comfortable being at home on Sunday or being at home on a Wednesday night or even, during a conference or a revival, whatever. I just wouldn't feel, I mean, okay, if you're working within, all right. But I'm saying home watching TV or the Spurs or whatever it is, I just wouldn't feel comfortable, you know, because I'm thinking this is my family and this is where I should be. Every time the brethren meet to worship God, to hear what the word says, I should meet. Now you might call me simple or whatever. I don't know, but this is a conviction that I don't think I'm the first one that's come to this conviction. You know, I think it's something that's very natural to a believer. I really do. I think it's something natural. If God has planted his seed inside your heart, I think it's natural for you to want to be worshiping God. And the only reason why you're not is because you're rebellious. You know, and I started thinking about these shepherd, and I started thinking about just some simple things, you know, that, first of all, it's our duty to go out and, give the gospel, just like these guys did. You know, they went out and they made haste and they went out and they told the simple story and then they went back praising God. They did exactly what they were told to do, and at the same time going back and praising God at what they had seen. And, you know, and as I think about this revival, I mean this conference here, you know, I'm thinking too, and you know, I just hope that we can just give you a little bit of hope as far as what we're doing down there is not in vain. You know, what you guys are doing here is not in vain. And while we're talking about these things and while we're trying to get refocused again and trying to get right and trying to get maybe even more on fire for this work, that we will understand that we need to be praising the Lord as well, just like these shepherds did. These guys weren't professionals. They weren't religious people. They weren't, you know, people in, you know, whatever. They were people just like you and I working. And the Lord came and revealed something so precious to them. One more verse. Psalms 19. Lots of times we think that it's in our power to change people's hearts. It really isn't. One more verse. Psalms 19 and verse 7. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." You know, it's not me that's going to convert the soul. It's God's word. You know, it says here, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward." You know, there is a great reward. You know, one day I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, my Lord face to face. But I'm really looking forward to worshiping my Lord and Savior. I'm looking forward to that reward. I'm looking forward to seeing Him face to face, my Savior who saved me, who's changed my life, who's given me the opportunity to be an ambassador. Man, what a blessing we have in Jesus Christ. Amen.